This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We got a special guest in studio, Johnny Franco. Man, I love this song. It brings me back to the Shea Stadium days, Johnny.
Me too.
Johnny boy.
You listen to this like you're driving around the city or whatever, and like, yeah, this is my song back in the day.
Yeah, once in a while. I listen to you guys when I'm driving down to Philly.
Do you listen to us?
Yeah, my daughter goes to Penn, so I drive down and have lunch with us. I listen to you guys all the time.
All Ivy League kids? Because you were just saying your son was
My oldest went to Villanova.
Okay.
And she's married now with a baby. I have a grandson. And my son went to Brown. Played baseball at Brown, and then my youngest at Penn. And then my son finished baseball, went back to Columbia to get his MBA. I'm taking no credit for this, trust me. I'm wearing the hat. That's all.
You say no offense, but you went to St. John's.
I barely got out of St. John's.
St. John's got to worry about the high school that you went to.
Went to Lafayette High School, where Colfax and Wupon went to.
You know, it wasn't the mind that got you. There was that left arm of yours, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you took the time to stop in, and we do appreciate having it. Can't wait to have this fun hour with you talking some sports. I wanted to say the genesis of this conversation, though. We were at the, I think it was the Ranger game first. No. It was the St. John's game that first night that BT hooked us up with court seats. And I see Johnny across the floor. You're always there at the Garden, whatever. They show you on the big screen. And then we kind of ran into each other on the subway a little bit, but I didn't see, you said you saw me.
I wasn't sure if it was you. You know, like when you're on a subway and you see someone and you say, I don't know, could that be Sal or not? And I was like 10 feet from him.
Uh-huh.
But I was like kind of embarrassed. Like, hey, Sal, what's going on? If it wasn't Sal, then I feel like an idiot, you know? So,
like, get stabbed if it's not.
Yeah, well, that too. That way I can self-defense myself. You know what I mean? But when I got off the train at Chambers and he got off the train, and I was like, wait a minute, why is Sal, doesn't he live in Long Island or something? Why is he down here? Then when I get off the train, I text you. And you said, yeah, I just got off the train. I said, so did I. So that's how we
got started. And then the next night at the Ranger game, I happen to go to the Ranger game. And I see you there sitting in front of Harvey and Seal and all that stuff. And then, and this is what I really wanted to get into. And then that led to, it was right around the Hall of Fame time.
Yeah.
So like the next day, because you were fresh in my mind, I started thinking about it. I was doing the show Beningo, I think, that Saturday Mason. And I'm like, and I told you, BT, about this, like, God, I think John Franco could be a Hall of Famer. And I'm thinking I'm doing like a nice service here for my friend Johnny Franco, saying, like, you know what, he should be a Hall of Famer. And I text him the clip of me doing it. He's like, you think? So your thoughts on where you're at as far as the Hall of Fame goes. We made this case for you. You know, and even BT the next day was like, I don't know. Because the initial thought, maybe not. But then you do the numbers and you go over who's in. And we're both like, there's a good argument. You should be a Hall of Famer.
You know, my dad always said I was the invisible man. So no matter, I could put up the same numbers as the Lee Smiths and all that stuff. And they would get all the notoriety. And I was, because I wasn't a hard thrower, right? So that's what everybody loves, the power pitchers. That's, Billy Wagner was great. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But he was a power pitcher. He strikeout. Everybody loved that. I did it with more finesse. You know, when I first came up, I was 93, 94 miles an hour. And as I got older, I learned how to pitch a little bit better. My super changeup. And that's how I learned how to pitch. But everybody falls in love with the power pitches. And that's one of the reasons why I think I kind of get overlooked sometimes.
I think one of the other reasons, because they're right, my first instinct was terrific player, couple of All-Stars, short of the Hall of Fame when we had the discussion on the air. And I didn't realize, was it three All-Stars with the Reds or two? It was at least
three
two.
With the Reds three, right? And one with the Mets.
Okay, so one thing that I think, and I didn't know that it was quite three. We were younger. I mean, obviously, yeah. we knew you were there. We knew you were one of us from here, but we knew you went to St. John's. I didn't know you made three All-Star teams with Cincinnati. And I think it hurt you. Like, if you would have been with the Mets for the first 10, 11 years, and you made, say, five All-Star teams, three early with the Mets instead of the Reds, I feel like you had a fragmented career that some people forgot about the early days in Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had some good years in Cincinnati. You know, Pete Rose was my manager, so it was that was interesting, too. But, yeah, I get overlooked quite a bit. You know, sometimes I look at the list and guys who are in the Hall of Fame, and my numbers are, if not better, almost the same, equal to them. A lot of those guys pitched before the analytics. I mean, when I was eligible for the Hall of Fame, there was no analytics and sabermetrics and stuff like that. So then there was only, I think, three or four guys in the Hall of Fame relievers at the time when I was eligible. And unfortunately, I only got 4.6%. And I remember I got a phone call from a writer. I won't mention his name, but I'll tell you guys off the air.
Okay.
And he called me and told me he didn't vote for me because he didn't believe in the save statistic.
Really?
Oh, and he was one of our local guys.
Really? So, was it Lupica?
No.
I was playing against the
game. I'll tell you off the air. That's even more of an insult.
Yeah, so I just said, why the F are you calling me? And I hung up on him.
Good for you.
Was it the last time you spoke to him?
I won't speak to him no more.
Wow.
Good for you, Johnny. Yeah. I love that. Just to give you the numbers, 2.89 career ERA. By the way, you screwed that up. 44 years of age, hanging on with the Mets in 04 and then the Astros in 05.
Right.
And your ERA jumped 5.28 and then 7.20. So could have had an even better ERA, but still 2.89.
Yeah, it's my last year with the Astros, I started off really good. And, you know, when your mind says, yeah. But then around June, the month of June and then July, really, my ball wasn't breaking. My fastball wasn't moving, and I got hit around pretty good. And I kind of knew the end was near because we had a doubleheader in Cincinnati. Ironically, that's where I started my career, and that's where I ended my career in Cincinnati. I got released in Cincinnati.
I didn't know that. I don't remember that.
4.27 career saves as well, BT. So as we mentioned before, I think we're doing a better ERA than Lee Smith and more saves than Billy Wagner, and both those guys are in. So,
well, yeah. I mean, more saves than the other guys that are in, too, the Gosses and the Suters.
See, here's my problem with guys who get in eventually, and you might down the road.
Yeah.
You don't get to celebrate it, enjoy it the way you do, because invariably over 10, 15, 20, 30 years, people pass away.
Right.
People that saw your journey, that you would love to be there with you. Yeah, you get in maybe, but the celebrations, it's a little bit empty because people that were there your whole life are no longer with us,
unfortunately. Absolutely. You know, my brother passed away 2 years ago. My parents passed away years ago. So, I mean, now I have my wife, my kids, my grandson, so my close friends. So, you know, God willing, we'll see what happens with the Veterans Committee. And that's the other thing. You have to get onto that. You have to get onto that. You have to be selected to get on that. So a few years ago, there was the Veterans Committee, and then all of a sudden, they changed it to the modern day contemporary era.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on that 16 list, and then they cut it to 8. And I was one of the guys, myself, Lou Whitaker, Keith Hernandez, we got cut from that list.
Think about the names. Whitaker, the Tigers in 84, they start 35-5, Trammell, Keith was Keith. I mean,
so I got cut from that
to the old generation.
The thing that hurts me still, I think, is the steroid guys are still being put on this list that are, you know,
so taking up spots.
They're taking up spots. So
did you know guys were cheating when you were playing? And you just
didn't know, but you could tell. I mean, I was, you know, a guy left 185 and came back 220. You know, something's like, wait a minute, his neck, and he looked like a, you know, he left as a goat and came back as a bull. So, yeah.
Did you ever think about taking it?
No.
Why not? I mean, if I'm you, yeah. and I respect, I believe you.
Yeah.
But if I'm you, if I could get 2-3 miles an hour on the radar gun with that changeup, how were you not tempted? Everybody was doing it.
Listen, I played during the steroid era, the live ball era.
Yeah. The cocaine era, the back end of the cocaine era.
Exactly. So I didn't need none of that. I played with my heart, and that's all. That was big enough to get me to where I had to get to.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're in studio with John Franco right now. You mentioned Pete Rose before. Did you ever sense there were any, you know?
No, you know, it's funny. Everybody always had asked me that, and from what they say, Pete always bet to win, the Reds to win. And I was closing at the time. So if we were winning the game and I wasn't in the game, I knew something would be up. But you know, during football season, here's a perfect example. During football season, our games in Cincinnati started at 1:15. A bunch of guys would stay in the locker room until about 2 to watch, you know, the football, yeah. Right? You know what I'm saying? And you'd yeah. come up, and Pete would be on the top step. And he'd say, hey, did you get a Bengals score? And yeah, the Bengals were up 6-3. What about the Jets? You know, I'm a Jet fan, right?
Probably so, losing like always. Yeah,
yeah. You know, the Jets, whatever. So you didn't think nothing of it. You know, just like all the other players, we were just thinking that, you know, we're football fans and we'd like to during football season. I never thought that he was betting on baseball until everything came out.
Did you like playing for him? Was he a good guy?
I loved playing for him. He was great. He deserved to be in the Hall of Fame just because of what he did as a player. I loved playing for him. He had two rules: play hard and be on time. And if you didn't play hard, he let you know.
Mm-hmm.
He let you know for sure.
You played with some good guys. Unfortunately, with the Reds, you left there just as they were going to the World Series with Pinella. What year were you there with Pinella as well?
No. So that winter, I got traded. But prior to that, there was some talks about me going to the Yankees. And all in the papers. So then our general manager at the time, I think it was Murray Cook at the time, had called me and said, Lou Piniella's a manager. He wants to have lunch with you in the Short Hills Mall.
Oh, wow.
Because Lou was out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had asked me, gentlemen, you know, we want to probably give you a 3-year deal. What are you looking for? I said, I don't know. You know, I haven't talked to my agent. So that was like at the end of November. Then they had the winter meetings. And then the next day I know it was, I got a phone call from Murray Cook saying, you've been traded to New York. So I thought it was the Yankees. So I said, okay, whatever. And then hung up the phone, and then Marge Schott called. Oh. And she didn't know nobody's name. She was just saying, hi, honey, sorry that you, you know. And I just gave the phone to my wife, and my wife was talking to her for about 20 minutes because she didn't know what, not my wife, but Marge didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
Wow.
And then 15 minutes later, Joe McElvain called me from the Mets. So I was like, oh, man, I grew up a Mets fan.
Yeah.
My brother was a Mets fan. So it was this great coming back home. And that was a long night for me. We partied pretty good that night.
I love it. Who was your favorite Mets growing up?
Tug McGraw,
yep.
Tom Seaver. And I was very fortunate enough to meet both of them. Tom Seaver was a guest instructor down in spring training when I was there. He was great. Some of the young guys like Pulsifer and Isringhausen, those guys didn't know much about Tom Seaver.
Uh-huh.
And I used to tell them, come inside and listen to this guy. And they said, I said, sit your butt down and just listen to him talk. And he was amazing. He was nice enough to, when I went out, my wife surprised me with a trip to Napa Valley. And I went out to see Tom because he had his vineyard out there.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
got great wine, Cabernet GTS.
I think Boomer made it out there too a couple years ago.
I need to get a bottle of that.
It was awesome. So
wow.
I pull up to his gate and he's got this big gate, number 41 on the gate. And I ring the bell and the gate opens and I come down. And I was with my wife and a friend of mine and his wife. And we come down and he has these big, big Labradors, about 90 pounds. And they're running towards the car. And I don't know if they were attack dogs or whatever. And he's laughing, laughing, laughing. And so he says one word and the dogs just go. And he said, welcome to Casa Seaver, you know. And I got out of the car, and it was great. And I said, what about these dogs? Oh, they scare away the mountain lions.
Oh, yeah, so a lot like, up there, yeah.
Yeah, so he gave us a tour of his vineyard. He had, I think it was 80 acres, but only 40 was for the
grapes. For the vineyards?
Yeah. And he would show us around. He was going up and down, and he had everything. He did his own pruning himself.
He did?
And he gave me a grape and tasted this. He said, taste this grape. And I said, oh, man, this tastes terrible. And he said, what are you eating it for? It's all rotten. I said, well, you gave it to me. Yeah. You know, Tom Seaver tells you to eat something, you're going to eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I did that. I ate it. But it was funny because then he had this big oak tree and two chairs and a little table there. And every day when he was finished pruning, he would sit there, and his wife Nancy would bring out a tray with lunch, and they have some wine. He'd do his crossword puzzle underneath the tree, and he had a baseball on top of a pole. And I said, "What's the baseball doing there?" So that's where I know I have to start tomorrow to start pruning. I always put a baseball where
that's
I have to start.
That's tremendous.
So it was pretty awesome.
How did you find out he was traded? How old were you? That must have destroyed you.
When Seaver?
Yeah.
Well, I was what. When did he get traded? In 84?
No,
77? 77? Well, I was 17 at the time.
I mean, that must have crushed you.
Yeah, I mean, it's Seaver.
Oh, my God.
Tug McGraw. That 69 Met team was my team. You know, I got to meet Tommy Agee. I mean, even Cleon Jones now when I see him. And Buddy Harrelson was our coach for the Mets when I was there for a little bit. Just to see those 69 guys and the way you grew up rooting for those guys. And now I've shared a locker room with them or talking to them. It was great. And Seaver, Siva tinkered with my slider. He showed me, you know, I wasn't happy with my slider, so I had his. He showed me his slider grip, and I used that a couple of times with his grip. So it was just to pick up one or two things, and I was very fortunate to have him at camp. And then on the flip side of it, Fred Wilpon was great friends with Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
And Koufax would come in, and there was this, I was great. My father was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. And I'll tell you a quick story with Sandy. So Sandy came to camp, and we all went out to dinner, all the lefties, Al Leiter, I think Glavin, myself, I forgot the other lefty. And we went out with a couple bottles of wine, and Sandy's talking about pitching, how as a left-handed pitcher, you should be on the first base side of the rubber and should be able to hit the outside corner 8 out of 10 times, 9 out of 10 times. And now Leiter, my buddy, is total nuts. Opposite.
Yeah.
Could throw a strike if
he had. No, but he slider in, cutter in, you know, this and that, right? Uh-huh. So fast forward, we're playing a game in Atlanta, and I come in relief for Armando Benitez. He's load the bases up. And I get the first guy out. This pitch haunts me from the day out until the day I die. So I had an 0-2 pitch on Brian Jordan. He missed the changeups by that much. So I figured, let me sneak a fastball off the plate inside. It came leaking back out. It's a grand slam, game loser, on my birthday. About 20 minutes later, my phone rings. Sandy, and he said, "Hey, dumbass, didn't I tell you to keep the ball away?" And he hung up.
Wow. Happy birthday, Johnny.
Happy birthday.
Now, wait a second. This was 2001?
I think it was 99.
Before that. 99.
This was against the Braves late in
Before the playoffs, late in the season.
Right, but I don't know why I'm thinking 01 where you guys missed the playoffs. What did you miss the playoffs that
year? In 99,
year?
We were in the playoffs.
No, that I remember. That's why I'm saying I think this home run that you gave up to Gil.
I think it was
Brian
99
Jordan.
Or 98,
Jordan,
one of those years. I know it was late.
Maybe it was 98 that you missed it. I feel like I was at Home Depot at the time, and I was angry with you.
You and Joe Beningo.
I'm sure we weren't alone. BT and Sal on the fan with John Franco in studio. You mentioned before something that, like, when you were a leader of this team, talking about Izzy and Pulse, Generation K, back in the mid-90s, when did you become captain for the Mets?
In 2001, I believe.
Wow, so that, 2001 with the Mets. So after that, but you were already acting like a captain in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I had the respect of my teammates. I always made sure that everybody, my job as a relief pitcher, the thing that hurt me the most and bothered me the most was not if I blew a save and I blew a save for Sal or Brendan because you guys pitched 7 innings and broke your back and you had nothing to show for it. That bothered me more than blowing a save and getting a loss because you guys get paid on wins and losses. Mm-hmm. And that would bother me so much that it did really ate at me. And it was a lot of sleepless nights because I blew it for my teammates. But I always got along with my teammates, always made sure that if a guy was down and out or struggling, go up to talk to him. You put your arm around him or talk to him and point to the sun and say, "Hey, dude, that sun came up today." And Jim Cott did that to me as a pitching coach in Cincinnati. He came up, put his arm around you after you had a tough outing and said, "The sun come out and just turn the page." So you have to have a short-term memory.
Yeah.
So it's that's what I did. I would go and talk to the guys, and I would just tell the guys, "Listen, take it for it. You want to tell me to shut up? Tell me to get the hell away from you. But I'm just going to give you a little advice, give you a little, little something to make you feel better or not feel better. But, dude, it's a long season. Forget about what happened today or yesterday. Today's a new day. And just let's move on." And I always made sure that when we went into a visit in town, always had 6-7 guys to go out for a steak dinner and just the camaraderie of the guys. If we had an off day somewhere, we'd go golfing or go to a movie, go to Alcatraz, a group of guys. And that's always was that type of guy to make sure that everybody stuck together, we were all on the same page, and make sure that nobody pointed their fingers at each other because that's how things get disruptive in the locker room.
How'd you find out that you were the captain? How did they name it?
I think Turk Wendell started it, and he went into Bobby V, and then the general manager at the time, I think it was Steve Phillips still,
I think Steve was still there at that point.
And they came up to me, and they said, "Hey, we want to make you captain of this team." And I said, "Well, it's a great honor. It's very rare that a relief pitcher is a captain."
Is that the first one in the history of baseball? Honestly.
It could be, maybe. I don't know. So it's very rare that a relief pitcher is usually an everyday player.
Yeah.
So I said, I'd be happy. But that's a captain. What do you do?
Put the C on the chest.
You put the C on the chest like a hockey player.
You do the same thing, though, you would be anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And you go, if the guy had a family issue or something was going on, and I talked to him, or I'd go to the coach, and Bobby, and talk to Bobby, or I'd go to a general manager, And I always try to help the player out or another player. If there's something going on in the locker room where somebody said something about somebody, I always call a team meeting and make sure to clear the air that, hey, you're just the same. We're all on the same page. Let's not point fingers at each other. It's a long season. You know, if I blow a save, I'm not pointing a save. You know, somebody made an error behind me. We're all on the same season. And then I had some muscle behind me, too, in case they didn't like it.
So,
I'm a little guy, but I'll fight you until I can't fight you.
Uh-huh.
But that's what it is. You know, that's what a captain is. And it's a leader, a guy who gets along with everybody, a guy who I think has the respect of everybody, respect of the whole organization, and that's what I had. I felt good about that, too.
You think the Mets have that with Francisco Lindor?
Oh, absolutely. I said it the other day. I think he'd be a right choice. No disrespect to Pete or Brandon Nimmo, the guys who have been there a long time. I just think he has this certain R about him, you know, that certain everyday guy. He's always smiling, whether he's 0-4 or 4-4. He's always talking to the young players. I mean, I saw a clip in spring training just a couple of days ago where he was talking to somebody about, I guess they were going back on pop-ups or something, talking about that. I think he'd be great. I think he's an unofficial team captain right now without the C on him.
Kind of like you were, right?
Yeah. So I guess eventually they'll put the C on him, I think. I think he'd be a great captain. I think Pete would be a nice captain. I think Brandon would be a nice captain. But I think he has a little bit more edge on him.
What he does really well, and I didn't really know this about him because first bunch of years were at the Guardians. Anybody could be a leader when you're doing well. Hey, you're hitting .330 for the month of June. Hey, I'm in a good mood. I got three knocks tonight and we're winning. Everything's good. Yeah. You know, when you're hitting .160 to start a season or, you know, you boot a ball that's short. And I remember it was a Pittsburgh game 2 years ago. He stood at the front of his locker, very accountable. And the thing that I didn't, not that I didn't think he was willing to do it. I didn't really ever see him do it like this. He was the leader when he was playing poorly.
Yeah.
And it takes a special person to do that because when you're not playing well, people generally don't follow you.
Absolutely. And you're right. You know, he had the first couple of months he struggled. You know, just like when Piazza got here. Piazza struggled for the first couple of weeks and people were booing him. And I was like, what are they booing him for? Come on now. Give the guy a shot. But no, he's held himself accountable. He, like you said, 0-4. But he don't get no hits, but he can make four great plays in the field and save the game that way. You know, there was that talk last year of Ohtani and Lindor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Ohtani's a DH. He goes 0-4 and a team loses. If Lindor goes 0-4, but he makes four great plays to save a game and wins a game for the team. So that's the difference between the DH and him playing.
So you think that Lindor should have won
it? I think he should have got real close. Should have been real close. Ohtani's a different animal himself. He's a phenomenal player. But I think from everyday playing shortstop every day, not taking a day off. The guy got hit in the face with a fastball last year or two years ago and stood in the game. Didn't want to come out of the game.
Even when he was, I think this was 2 years ago against the Dodgers, he got his finger slammed in a hotel door. He played like the next night.
Exactly. So, you know, he has my respect.
Yeah.
If I was a teammate of his, I would surely love to have him as captain, not only for the regular players, but for the young Latin players on the team, too. I think the guys look up to him also.
We'll take a quick break, come back with more. Johnny Franco, before we do, what'd you ever get for that Piazza, giving him a 31?
I had, Mike had the famous artist.
Michael Angelo.
Leroy Neiman painted a portrait of me.
Really? That's what he gave him?
Yeah,
all right, not bad.
Cool.
You still have it, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And then you had to wear the 45 with the C on it, but...
Yeah,
all right.
That's
Mike,
all right.
You had to make Mike pay up a little bit.
Yeah, Mike. When Mike first got traded, I had him stay at my house when I lived in Staten Island for a couple of days, and we had the same agent, so it was pretty cool.
Okay, all right. BT and Sal on the Fan In Studio with John Franco. BT and Sal back on the Fan In Studio with John Franco, Mets legend, also St. John's alum. We're getting some good stories during the break about that. I see you at the Garden all the time. You fired up about the Johnny's hoops?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. Sunday's going to be a great game, too. You know, 12 o'clock start.
Tell him, Johnny. Husky's going down, buddy. Let him know.
Just enough time to get home to have the pasta, you know, after the Johnny's win. It was nice.
You cooking the pasta or what?
Since I retired, I do all the cooking.
Look at this. I think Mazzilli was the same thing. Remember he was telling us when we had him at
that golf
outing?
He likes to cook, too.
I like to cook.
All of a sudden, you guys cooking. Yeah.
So do I. Men cook. You just don't cook.
Yeah. No. I didn't say it's not a men or women thing. I'm just saying it.
Yeah. You don't cook.
I don't cook. When I played,
my wife made sure there was food on the table right before I left every game. So she cooked for 20-something years when I played.
Do you have a certain pregame meal that you would always...
My pregame meal was spaghetti with garlic and oil.
Oh, okay.
That was my.
And then afterward, you go ham. What would you get? What were you eating after the game? After
a nice win? Like after a Mets win, yeah. Depending on what they had in the locker. After the locker room, you know, we had pot, we had Italian food, Chinese food, Mexican food. Every night was different.
Seven beers.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you could drink beers. Before, you know, if back in the day, you know, the game would end at 10:30. You wouldn't get home till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. But you sit around and talk about the game.
Yeah.
That's what. That's now. You know, obviously you can't drink and drive, but back
for
then,
sure.
You know,
it was more right. It was more open.
Even the
more
plane, even the flights back, there was a. We had a flight back one time, and a couple of teammates. I won't mention their names.
What year?
Frank Howard was our manager, our coach. So I can't remember the year exactly. And we got off the. He was going home, and three of our players got into a little accident. And Hondo pulled up the side of him, and he says, "You guys all right?" And they said, "Yeah, Honda, we're fine." He says, "I'll see you tomorrow." He just drove home.
I mean, we shouldn't even laugh, but that's how it was.
Yeah,
back
well, that's
then.
How it yeah, was right. back then. Yeah, but now, it was great. It was good.
You're going down to Port St. Lucie soon to be
instructed
with the
Mets? Yeah, yeah. I got a phone call from Carlos Mendoza a couple weeks ago, invited me down to be a special instructor. So I'm leaving. I'll be down Monday to Friday.
And what do you do when you're down there? You help these younger guys? You let them know?
You know, whatever they want me to do. You know, I'll just stay out of the way unless they ask an opinion or something like that. And I'll, you know, I'll help out. It's good to go down there. And I know, I think Santana's down there now. Or he's going to be
Johan,
there.
Okay. Yeah,
and myself, Edgardo Alfonso, I think David might be down there, and Straw.
Oh, nice. There you go. Yeah. And listen, you have to do what Seaver did for you with the slider. Right, you got to teach him a little, you know, like tweak the change up grip.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you're going down there for, right?
Yeah, you go down and just try to stay out of the way because there's a certain protocol that they have to follow, and you know, there's.
Oh, what? Like the pitching coaches have their own. You can't.
No. You know, you just don't want to step on anybody's toes, and you don't want. You know, it's like I don't want to tell you to do something without telling. If I see something, I would tell the pitching coach. Hey,
gotcha. You run it by them.
Yeah, Sal is. You know,
right,
crazy
leaking out. Sal is, you know, he's.
But you're John Franco, Mets Hall of Famer.
You
know what I'm saying?
The game has changed so much, not just in our organization, but the whole thing about that. So,
well, how surprised or how concerned were you at some points fairly recently that Pete wasn't coming back?
It's very concerning. I mean, I'm glad he is back. You know, our lineup gets stretched out a little longer. We needed some protection for behind Soto. I don't know what the lineup's going to be, but whatever the lineup is, you know, it's hard to find a guy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Who's going to put up 30 home runs and 80 plus RBIs a year, no matter, you know, what his average is, he's hit 30 bombs a year. So
a 40, usually
yeah.
It's 40.
Yeah. So it's, I'm glad he's back. Yeah. He, you know, it's funny when he got, I think he got drafted. I forgot what year he got drafted. I was the player who called him. I represented the Mets, and with the first pick of the 1990, the New York Mets select first baseman Pete Alonso from Florida.
Yeah, wow,
so
that's
when
cool.
I see Pete, I said, I want some agent there.
Well, now he's got a little more for you. Yeah. Know this year.
He got a lot more for me. For sure.
Have you ever seen, now, I hate to even bring this up, but I don't want to get more into this, but obviously you were part of the Mets team that went to the World Series and lost to the Yankees.
Yeah.
How about the magnitude of Soto leaving the Yankees to sign with the Mets?
Wow, that's pretty big. I mean, I know if the Mr. Steinbrenner was allowed, I don't think that would have happened. But, hats off to our owner, Steve Cohen, because, you know, he knew this is the player he wanted and he was going to spend whatever. I think it's a little shot for the Yankees because, you know, he was a big part of their lineup. So it's going to hurt them a little bit, but the Yankees brought in some pretty good players, you know.
I like what the Yankees I get what his point is. Like,
yeah,
that never happened.
No,
that never.
George is turning over in his grave right now. That would never happen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you were at peak Mets, really the beginning, because you were there for the first Subway Series ever in '97. Lived through all that with the Yankee dynasty as a player for the Mets, lost to them head-to-head in the World Series. Since then, I mean, we go back to the 80s, sure, the Mets ran the town for a little while, but since then it has been dominant one way
For
30 years. Yeah. And to have this happen, to steal their guy?
Yeah, to steal a guy. And listen, as a player, you have the right to become a free agent and pick and choose wherever you want to go. And that's what Juan did. He picked and chose, and he picked the Mets. We're glad he picked the Mets. I'm glad he picked the Mets.
They're going to hit him second or third. You know, like Davey's not hitting him second. You know, Bobby V's probably not hitting him second. I know the game's changed a little bit.
I don't know where he hits. I mean, Lindor's got to lead off, that's for sure.
Yep.
I would hit him third. I mean,
I would hit Vientos second, John. I would go Lindor, Vientos, and then
that's,
Soto.
See, that's another thing. You know, you got the Vientos hit 20-something home runs. Hopefully he can repeat that, you know? The catcher? Francisco Alvarez, he's got a hit too, you know. So there's a lot of pressure on him too.
If you were facing him to close out a game, Johnny Franco comes on, music
facing
is playing. Well, what do you think would be more challenging, Lindor, Soto, Vientos, or Alonso? Like, if you,
it don't matter who I face.
Yeah, Barry Bonds.
It don't matter.
Barry Bonds, you got him, Johnny.
Barry to this day still says it was a ball. I said, what the umpire calls, strikes or suck on it.
Go take some more pills, there, Barry. While you're
out. Suck on it, man.
You have one that sticks with you. By the way. The Brian Jordan one, I'm pretty sure, as I have this on replay here, was 2001. I remember that.
Thanks, Sal.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Let me see this meatball. Flip this around. You didn't hit the outside corner. I'll restart it right here. I'm pretty sure. All right, so he's trying to. Well, I got it. Hang on.
Oh no, it was a pitch right down the plate.
Oh, you can't miss it like that, John.
Tell me about that. I have nightmares about that.
Oh, up and away, he crushed it.
Colfax told you.
Is there one that sticks with you? The World Series, I remember Game One. Did both you and Benitez cough up leads in that game?
No, not me.
Maybe I'm thinking of Game 6 in Atlanta in 99. Yeah. You guys had a lead, you blew it, then Benitez blew it, and then obviously Kenny Rogers. Is there one that sticks with you more so, a blown save in a big spot? That one right here,
that's it? That one bothered me the most. I mean, usually the players, I did pretty well in the playoffs. My numbers in the playoffs were pretty damn
good. That Bonds one was incredible.
Yeah. You know, the story about what Bonds was, prior to that, John Olerud was our first baseman for the Mets, and John Olerud was a tremendous hitter, left-handed. And I went up to John Olerud, I sit on the bench, and I said, what's the toughest pitch for you to hit against a lefty? And he said, a changeup. And I said, why? Because they never throw it. So I just put that in the back of my head. So all the years I faced Barry, Barry and I, we had the same agent, and I used to mess around with him so bad. I said, man, I don't know how I get you out. You're the greatest player ever, blah, 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 la, la, la. And Barry says, when I hit a home run off you, I'm going to run around the bases backwards. And I said, man, I don't know, man. You're just so great. I don't know how I get you out. And he almost got me one time, hit one off the wall at Shea Stadium. And it just so happens that day, that game, so I came in the game for Benitez, and first guy was a man on first. They bunt him over to second. Next guy hits a rocket, one hop at a shortstop. The guy on second tries to go to third. We throw him out at third. So now I got two outs, man on first, and I'm facing Bonds. First pitch, ball. Second pitch, ball. Next pitch, a strike. 2-1. I throw 3-1. Then he hits a 3-1 fastball. If he would have hit it, it would have landed in Oakland.
Oh, man.
So now I'm saying, man, Piazza's putting fastball. I'm saying, no. And I said, let me throw a changeup. What the hell? If I walk him, I walk him. And I threw a changeup, and it just happens it was a strike. And he looked at it. I don't think he was expecting it.
I'm watching it now, BT. We got it up in
here.
It's
a good one. I got to see it after. Is it Johnny?
Punch him out, baby. Sit down. Oh, that was great,
but,
Johnny.
In the two games after that, I faced him again. I got him out with a high fastball.
Because now you got him thinking. Yeah. You got him getting because now he saw another pitch.
Exactly.
I think I know the answer, but I obviously want to hear from you. So even though you got Bonds out and had good success against him, somebody like Bonds or even Judge, Soto, you know, is it easier in quotes, to face a guy like that in a high leverage spot or a high contact hitter like a Gwynn or a Boggs or a Brett? What's the tougher battle?
It's funny you say that. So I'd rather face a home run hitter like Bonds and, Judge, Soto, than a Gwynn. Gwynn's numbers are probably off the chart against me because I was in the Western Division when Cincinnati was in the West. So I faced them, and I used to try to get him out, a fastball in, base hit to fastball away, base hit. Fastball, basic.
Wore you out.
Yeah. So I said, the hell with it. I'm going to throw one right down the middle. I hope he hits a line drive at somebody. You can't get him out.
He was that good. Yeah.
But a guy like Gwynn, a guy who owned me was Mariano Duncan.
I remember him. Mariano, I don't remember him owning you.
We went through that. That's it.
When you were Cincinnati?
Okay. He was with the Dodgers for a little bit.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I think he's obviously with the Yankees.
The Yankees, of course. So he was on the 96 team.
He just had to put his bat in there. There was just certain guys you couldn't get out. And Glenn Allen Hill.
He was a home run hitter.
Yeah, he was a steroid guy.
Yeah, he was.
So I gave up three home runs to him as pinch hitter.
What about somebody like Mike Schmidt?
No problem with Schmitty. Andre Dawson.
Really? Why? Do they have longer swings?
No, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I guess you bear down a little bit more. But Glenn Allen hit it a home run in Wrigley Field against a 3-0 pitch, that son of a gun.
He
was taking it. He hit it halfway up the ivy in center field. That was a bomb. One of the longest home runs I've given up to this day was Tim Wallach.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Expos,
him.
Third baseman.
He hit one halfway.
He's good.
In a mezzanine, almost halfway up in a mezzanine at Citi Field.
At Shea Stadium.
It would have landed in LaGuardia if the flare was there.
Did you ever face Mattingly? I don't think you did you?
I faced him spring training. I faced Donnie, Bernie, and I forgot who the third guy
Paul
was.
Paul O'Neill?
No.
Tino? One of those? Oh, no, Tino was gone.
Those guys you faced for real.
There was another. Oh, Winfield. Winfield, oh, Donnie, and
Ricky.
Bernie.
Ricky was with Winfield.
What?
And Winfield was with, I'm sorry, Mattingly was with Winfield and Ricky.
Right.
But not, Bernie was coming up. That's true.
I believe I faced Bernie, but I know it was Winfield, Donnie,
and
KKK.
Oh, wait. Look at Johnny.
You struck out my boy?
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, the 2000 World Series, Johnny. And we'll get to that. We're going to take a quick break. Hey, would you be cool? You know, we do this segment where we open pack of cards.
Yeah, yeah. Give me
a year that you think you'd be okay with. We have, I think, 84.
No, we don't.
It's not a year. 84 through like 91. What do you think you'd be best at?
I don't know. You guys pick one out.
Okay,
all right. I bet right in the middle. We'll go 86, 87. Okay, see what you got.
We'll pick one out when we come back. BT and Sal in studio with John Franco.
That's going to be awesome.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. Vincent is in Wantagh. What's up, Vincent?
Hey, what's going on? I was just hoping to speak to BT about supporting Marcus Stroman instead of trading him away.
Okay.
Specifically because Gleyber Torres is gone. And so defense is going to be a lot better with Jazz Chisholm up the middle. Also, you had Anthony Rizzo booting balls at first base as well. So I think between Goldschmidt and Jazz Chisholm up the middle, you'll see that ERA jump down to that 3.95 from a year before.
Well, I mean, that's why before the comments today, I hadn't had the position, wasn't taking the position, got to trade Marcus Stroman. I didn't think he was valueless. What I think now, though, is that his position and combined with where he is as a pitcher makes it untenable for me. Do I think it'd be better with a better infield? Of course, because he's got one of the highest ground ball rates in baseball. I get that.
You got anything to volley there, Vincent?
Yeah, and the previous caller as well said he had gave up a bunch of web league and home runs. I just think that was factually incorrect.
Now Vincent,
well,
I'm just curious why you could make that point to both of us and you wanted it specific to BT.
I felt like he was really pushing it just because of his comments today.
Yeah, it was funny because usually callers don't call and say, I mean, sometimes it happens, but...
Yeah, like if they have like a specific...
Yeah, but in this particular case, I was like, oh, well, what's going on here? But I thought it was a very good call and he brought up a very good point. And something I told you, I mentioned that Joe Beningo and I did the show at Amazing Day out at Citi Field and we had Clay Holmes on. And he alluded to the fact that some of his struggles last year were because of the poor defense behind him. So the Yankees have upgraded the defense, meaning that maybe they get a more effective Marcus Stroman. It's really closed the story, BT. Stroman started the day. In case you missed it, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. We've gone over it. Had some fun along the way as well, so it's been a good show. Check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Stroman started the day by telling media he's a starting pitcher. That's his plan. He's a starter. He's not going to pitch in the bullpen. And Cashman saying, I agree, he is a starter. They got 6 weeks basically to figure something out, whether it turns out to be an injury, whether a move. Obviously, we know what's going to happen. The Yankees are going to try to trade him, and you just need to find a willing partner, assuming that no injuries or anything happens in their current starting rotation.
Yep, that's why as soon as Cashman uttered his final syllable at that press conference, he probably went right back to his phone and went back to texting a couple of GMs and started talking turkey on a Stroman deal.
And I do wonder what the return would be, if anything, or just a matter of who's going to be eating the money. And then it comes down to, would you rather just have Stroman? Let's say somebody's like, yeah, we'll take him, but we'll eat $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so would you rather pay Stroman $10 million to go away?
Yep.
Or keep him here in kind of insurance, at least for the next 6 weeks? Once you get into the season, I don't know what good it's going to do to have him hanging around if there's no spot for him.
Well, think about that. Clark Schmidt got hurt in like May or June. Remember, Clark Schmidt started last season healthy, then he got hurt. So just you can enter spring training with five horses ready to go, at least on paper. And, you know, April 20th, May 9th, June 2nd, you know, somebody could go down and Stroman's value would obviously increase. You don't just give him away and you don't necessarily attach a meaningful prospect to further incentivize somebody to pull the trigger on the deal. But what you do is, this is what I want to see him do, go get Arenado. Yeah. Go get him. Just get him.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They might not, but get him.
Hoff also said, they definitely need a third baseman. Hoff also said that Cashman mentioned they are currently in negotiations with Aaron Boone to extend his contract. Obviously, he's on the final year of his deal. We heard this before, but Cashman saying it again, so right from the horse's back.
I think it's awesome. The more Booney sticks around, the more BT and Sal can pummel him in the World Series. And by the way, I know that you'll be into this at some point on Sunday. Johnny's and Creighton for
what
first
time?
Place, 3 p.m. at the Garden.
You'll be there.
I'll be there. It's a massive showdown. It's obviously a tough one against Nova the other day. St. John's trying to get back on the horse, get a win. Big, big game.
Enjoy the weekend,
you
BT.
You too, man.
Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy your weekend. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.